On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. Let's go! Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a special edition, but that kind of oversells it, makes it sound a little more fun than it is. We'll call it a different edition of... I don't even know. I guess we'll call this one an audio whiplash. Matty Lang's here. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well, man. I've been on a whiplash in a long time.
No, I know. We keep you segregated off to the sports thing and where you can't do any damage, right?
just for the sport thing, eh? Yeah. Just the only reason you keep me segregated. Well, hey, in honor of being in Whiplash, I opened a tall mug of coffee instead of my tall glass of beer like usual, so...
Maddie's at work. It's early in the day as we sit and put this together, so maybe we'll lay off the hooch. I was actually saying, as I'm getting ready to kind of, you know, if we're all going to be doing a little more quarantining or social distancing or whatever they're calling it, I got home and there is not a drop of beer in the house, not a drop of rum in the house. I'm going to have to stock up before things get too locked down here, I think, man.
Don't those boys from Need a Beer do any delivery service?
They may have to, man. I'll be walking out of their place the same way some people are walking out of Costco's with toilet paper, right? Just all kinds of it under my arm. And so we got a couple things we wanted to talk about here today. And, you know, this is sort of an intersection, as Maddie called it before we jumped on the air here, of real life and sports and all kinds of stuff going on. We're going to talk a bit about the coronavirus. There will be a sports twill here that we kind of twirl through it. And these things... are also connected at this point, but also just how this is likely to impact, you know, what's going on in the sports business world or the regular business world. And one of the interesting reasons to talk to Maddie is, for those of you longtime listeners who've been around for a while know, Maddie's a physio, runs his own business in downtown Toronto. And, you know, as we're being told, you know, no handshakes, no whatever, right? Try and keep your distance from people. Maddie's got a bunch of employees right on the front line of this thing that someone comes in and maybe you're going to work with them on whatever they might be working on, a back or a knee or a neck. There's got to be some physical contact there. What has kind of the mood been around, you know, the people that you're working with and what kind of precautions you guys can take, man?
Well, before you even jump into that, Matt, I'll tell you, yesterday I got a call from a hockey player.
Right.
And, you know, they're away, female hockey players. So, you know, the pro league's kind of on hiatus, but they're touring around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, she messaged me Tuesday night. She says, hey, can I pop in on Wednesday? I said, no problem. What does she want to work on? You know, her jaw, her TMJ. Yeah, from
right there to her face.
The courts, right?
Yeah.
So I'm literally elbow deep in this poor girl's face. And we're kind of joking around about it. And then you leave and you're like, that's, you know, like there's nothing I could do but refuse treatment, which I'm not going to do to somebody. But, you know, you take precautions. I dare say healthcare clinics of any sort are probably, I wouldn't say the hospital is the safest place because there's everybody sick in a hospital.
Right.
But when you get into a physio clinic, you get in a massage clinic, a chiro clinic, you know, nutritionist is probably the safest place because we use medical grade cleaners everywhere. We're constantly sanitizing and washing our hands. But at the same time, we have high number of contact with a lot of people who are coming in off the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, and healthcare employees are always the ones who are actually at the most risk. And we saw that mostly with SARS. I think it was like 40% of the people who got affected were healthcare employees.
Yes.
Just because you're high contact, you're in people's face, you can't, it's very hard to treat somebody in any sort of medicine without being close.
Right. Exactly.
I read a briefing from a CEO from one of the hospitals this morning, and they're suggesting doctors stay 2 meters away when conducting exams. And it sounds great in principle, but it's just not
realistic. No. How are you going to do that?
So when you asked me about my staff, you know, the first thing that, you know, we had already been preparing something to send out to our staff and as well to our clients. So we obviously rushed that out this morning with all the news of, and everybody freaking out now that it's affected the NBA and sports. Mm-hmm. We sent that out this morning, and you know, I spent the first hour and a half of my day today just talking with my staff and re-educating them, and also, you know, trying to calm some of their fears down. Right.
I was just going
to
ask you: is there concern? Is there, you know, a lot of worry, or, you know, what is it, tense in the office? Like
today, it's definitely tense. It hadn't been up until this morning. Half my staff is pretty nonchalant about it. And understand the risk. And I've got half my staff who are fairly concerned about it.
Right.
And they're worried about, you know, getting sick, or, you know, having somebody else come in and be sick, or, you know, even giving, you know, being a carrier and giving it to a client, which are realistic risks. Right. So, you know, we're trying to do our best to minimize the risk of infection. Obviously, you know, we're implementing a hard rule. If you're coughing at all in the clinic, you're just not getting treated.
Yeah.
You know, which sounds kind of heavy, but it's like, if, you know, if you're running a cold, people still come in, even though you tell people don't come in when you're sick. We're just going to have to refuse blatant sicknesses,
yeah, obvious,
like that. We're going to have to refuse,
yeah,
it.
Symptoms and stuff.
If people are calling in and saying, "Hey, I have a fever," we're going to actually tell them to go to make sure they're going to the hospital and get tested. As opposed to, you know, just even self quarantining, we're really going to be pushing for people to get tested, because if you've had contact with one of our staff, that staff then has to tell everybody else they were in contact after.
Right.
So just, you know, self quarantining sounds great, but it's almost a little selfish to the other people
for
that person's
sure.
been in contact with. So, you know, we're taking precautions, we're prepared. You know, I expected to see a lot of cancellations today. And through the rest of the week, but we've got, you know, a little bit more than normal, but not a heck of a lot. I think people are taking everything with a grain of salt and understand that we're not going to stop living our lives and shut society down completely.
Right.
For the average person, right? I mean, obviously there's people who are, you know, follow you on Twitter. I've got some other friends as well who have who are immunocompromised from
right.
other health issues.
Sure.
And, you know, 100%, yeah, segregate yourself, right? Put the barriers up. Stay safe. You know, if you're older and sick, you got to take a little extra precaution as well. But for the, you know, I say the average, you know, like 18 to 50 year old person,
right?
You know, we got to just, you know, you got to wash your hands. You got to use Purell. Don't go, you know, don't shake hands. Don't fist bump. Use your knuckles to turn lights on and off. Open doors. Paper towels. All the things they tell us every year about the flu. We've got to do it, because now it's at a much more, it's a much more precarious situation that
That's
we have
right.
to
yeah.
be way more worried of, because I think WHO took way too long to call this a pandemic. I think countries have taken too long to limit travel. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember SARS, though we were, you know, in high school at the time.
Yeah.
Nothing in Toronto stopped, right? We didn't get days off of high school. Schools weren't closed, but travel was minimized
yep.
very quickly. You know, being the large, you know, the center of the universe that Toronto is, especially for business, the U.S. was very quick to shut down travel. But it's taken the U.S. now how long to shut down travel? And Canada's not even shut down travel, right? It's Air Canada who's shutting down travel to Italy and other countries. Just very, very interesting kind of thought process with.
Yeah, it's been a little lackadaisical, right? We're running behind
right?
a little bit.
And, yeah.
And they talk about, I mean, you know, some of these countries that are like China is being, you know, patted on the back right now for how quickly they've come around and got this snuffed out.
but they're also the ones who let it get out of control in the first place. And the way that they have snuffed it out is not something that is going to sit well with your average Canadian or American or Brit or whatever, right? They are, that's an authoritarian government. They were on top of these people everywhere, coming and going, taking your temperature at every train station and just telling you, yeah, you got a high fever. You're over here now. You're not going home. You're staying with us till it's, you know, that's not going to happen here. It's going to be left more to, you know, us as individuals to take care of it. And there are still a ton of individuals out there who don't believe it's a big deal, which is a very big problem.
Yeah. I mean, well, all you have to do is look at the reason I think North America is about to go really crazy about this over the next month to 3 months is the U.S. did exactly what China did. They underreported. They tried to hide it.
Yeah.
They weren't providing the appropriate resources. I mean, up until 3 days ago, Trump was denying it.
Well, and it's $1,000.
Wait until it gets
to get the test.
Wait until it gets hot. You know, the virus won't survive in the summer. We're fine.
Yeah.
You know, and 3 days later, he's canceling all travel.
Right.
And you know, I mean, and then yeah, I mean, the problem in the U.S. is then you're forcing people to get to pay to get tested,
and there are huge, huge portions of the country who cannot afford $1,000 to be tested. So they're just not going to. They'll walk around as carriers and infecting other people, and it's a huge mess, man.
And I think that's, you know, hopefully why Toronto, you know, specifically, and but, you know, Ottawa, Calgary, Vancouver, and Canada in general will be okay, is, and hopefully we'll be able to contain it much better, is that, you know, we can walk into a hospital.
Yeah. Leave your wallet at home.
I know at Humber River, they've conducted 97 tests so far.
Right.
Zero positives.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, and that's something I've been telling, you know, my staff and our clients, is that everybody's being overcautious, and this is the time to be overcautious. If you have a fever, you know, go get checked.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the only way we'll know. And then you can make decisions based on that. But it's relieving to me that 97 tests have been done. I mean, one hospital in Toronto, but.
Oh, yeah. And we are getting more cases in Toronto, and we just had another one here in Ottawa today, as you say. But, you know, there are hospitals, like you say, that some of that would indicate it's not running rampant through the community yet. It's still a lot related to travel and coming back from different places or having been in contact with somebody. So, I mean, that is reassuring as well.
I know Toronto, I mean, obviously now with the news, and we'll get into this, you know, NBA and NHL and National Lacrosse League. You know, it's interesting, right? Because Toronto and Ontario have not come out and limited gatherings yet, right? Like they've done in many states and many cities. There's been none of that going on as of yet. So everybody's kind of, you know, my answer to everybody's been, and we're actually having a staff event tomorrow.
Right.
You know, we're hanging out, we're having dinner, and I'm like, well, listen, guys, if you don't feel comfortable, don't come.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still on, you know, and it's a, you know, we're talking a one clinic, it's a group of 15 people, so smaller than the 50 that's been kind of recommended elsewhere in the world. But
well, there's some messaging problems there too, right? Like Doug Ford is downplaying this way too, like there's quote floating out there all over the place right now. This is go away, travel, enjoy your March break. You go, you know, man, no, maybe it's not. And again, you don't want people to panic. You don't want you to shut down life completely, but it's not, you know, fancy free right now. No problem. Everything's great. Everything is not great. It's not an apocalypse, but be careful, right? Like,
exactly.
Man.
Right. And I think these, you know, it's with air travel these days, it's just so much easier for these things to spread. Yeah.
Sure,
the interesting thing is it doesn't seem to be spreading on airplanes, right? Which is very peculiar for any kind of airplane.
Especially with all that recirculated air like that on those planes, right? It's
And I mean, you know, there's been some really, maybe just because, you know, especially in Toronto and Canada, we went through SARS 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
the
companies are just about, I think it's like 17 years,
right? You're
right,
like it is. That's insane.
Right?
It was 03.
Yeah, buddy, you're old. I don't know if you know this yet, but
man,
you're getting up there, man.
That's rough. Jesus.
Sort of be the bearer of bad news on a Thursday.
Well, there hasn't been enough bad news in the air.
I was just going to say the response from a lot of businesses have been pretty good. You know, all you get to be is on somebody's emailing list and you're getting their responses. But, you know, I have a conference still planned for the end of May right now in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I'll let you know if I've if I've loosened the bubble around my home.
If you're allowed to get out of the house yet.
Well, if I'm letting you in, it'd be more than...
I'll talk to you from outside the door.
For sure.
Just leave me a beer. Leave me a beer outside the door.
There'll be a pulley system up to the balcony. You can stand out there.
As long as there's no snow anyways.
Right, right.
But, you know, like Porter just issued something yesterday where they're giving people sanitary kits on the way into the plane so they can wipe things down. They're wiping it down anyways, but they're going to give you something to wipe your stuff down.
Yeah, so you can feel yourself like you know this got done and taken care of. It's good.
And you're even getting the stuff. Number of sanitation stations, right? Just small things like this, I think, will reduce people's worry. That being said, I'm okay. I feel comfortable traveling to Ottawa.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm planning a trip to New York City right now.
Right. Well, an end of May is a long way off too, right? Like it's
hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll be able to see. Now, you did reference a few minutes ago, and over the last 24 hours, this has become a huge thing. I was recording a show last night on my own. Lots of great talk about what the Leafs lineup's going to look like moving forward. That is, of course, still super relevant right now. Yes. As I finished up the show, I opened Twitter, and holy shit, the NBA has, like, a bomb has gone off. A player has it, or it looks like a player has it. They're suspending the league. And as we sit here now, things have tumbled fast behind it. MLB is suspending operations. The NHL is suspending operations for now. You mentioned the NLL. CFL is calling off their combines. Non-sporting.
Meaning baseball.
MLB for sure.
Just, they just... suspending spring training, and they're going to move everything back.
Looks like it, yeah. And then even non-sport stuff. E3 is a huge electronics conference that's been scrapped. South by Southwest. There's Pearl Jam's called off tours, as have many other acts. This is rapidly, you know, I don't know what you'd want to call it, but it's shutting down anyway, trying to keep people from gathering. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about it because I wonder how these leagues now, and let's focus for now on the NHL and the NBA because they're much further into their season. Like baseball can just start late. Yeah, the NHL and the NBA have their seasons largely finished. How do you determine when to come back? Like the NBA, I guess, has told their teams expect 30 days minimum.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? Let's say things have steadied off. There's no chance of this thing being gone in 30 days, but is it ramping down? Is it as a level? Like, how do you get a doctor to say, yeah, it's now safe for all of you to cram back together in a tiny bill? I have a hard time believing either of those leagues are going to be able to come back this year.
See, I'm going to go the other way with you on this one, Matt, because I spent a lot of time thinking about this last night, and, you know, I keep a loose eye on European soccer quite a bit and what they've been doing. And listen, there is just far too much money
in revenue. Yeah.
In TV revenue, mm-hmm. not to continue the season. You know, there's nothing reported of any NHL players, and fingers crossed there haven't been, and this break will prevent that from happening. The NBA was very clearly going to continue to play with the plan of not having fans in the arena.
Yep.
The whole time.
And hockey was headed in that direction too.
Yeah. And some of it was being forced by
certain jurisdictions
and councils and jurisdictions. Other teams are apparently willing to just do it anyways. The NBA, it was split, I think, or fairly close to being split. Some of them wanted to shut it down. Some of them wanted to play with no fans. And the New York Knicks wanted to keep bringing fans in.
Of course they did.
The only people they're not trying to ban right now is apparently the coronavirus at the moment.
Oh my God.
Listen, I think, you know, you look at European leagues, and Italy, where it's been hit literally the worst outside of China, has only recently canceled games or postponed games.
Mm-hmm.
Champions League, there was a couple of very big games yesterday playing in front of some countries playing in front of fans, other countries playing in front of no fans.
Well, they're meeting later today. UEFA is going to have an emergency meeting on what to do with, because Euro 2020 is also right around the corner.
But I think a lot of this is driven by the fact that the NBA, because one of their players got
sick. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Two confirmed ones, right, on Utah.
Yep.
And I'm sure you know, within a day or two, we'll hear the results on the Raptors, who were just in Utah, mind you. So, you know, if, and I think they were able to link back just, I think it was like 30 of like, all 30 teams were linked within like 7 days of playing each other.
Right.
So, you know, smart call, let's suspend it. But they were never going to suspend the league as long as their players were fine. Right.
This, I think that's true.
This had nothing to do with fan safety.
No, never does. Man.
This had only to do with their players, which, okay, it's fine. It's a business, but don't let them sell you on we're worried about the fans.
No.
And nothing to do with the fans. It had only to do with the players.
That's right.
That's my biggest issue with it. And I think that's why once we're over this 30-day period and everybody's clear, that gives everybody 14 days to go through protocol of self-quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives them time to start getting back in shape and be ready to come back in 30 days, 45 days. My only question is, with the NBA and NHL, do they say, hey, listen, you know, crazy circumstance, we got to cut the season down by, you know, 5 games and go into playoffs. But I don't see outside of, you know, North America absolutely imploding with this, that we don't see playoffs in both leagues, because there's just too much money they're going to be leaving on the table.
Well, I think that's an interesting distinction that you've made. Go ahead.
Sorry, man. Just one last thought about this. You think about this. If the rest of us can't go to games, you know, if there's 18,000 people that can't go to games, and in a city like Toronto and Ottawa, you know, Montreal, Vancouver, where there's big masses of people who go to the bars, and when you're at a bar, you don't watch commercials, right? You're watching the game. You're not paying attention to commercials at all. You're either looking at another game or you're chatting.
Yep.
But now all of a sudden we're all at home. Nobody's going to restaurants. Nobody's doing this stuff. What are we doing? All eyes and all across everywhere is going to be on every playoff game.
That's true.
Going to be massive playoff revenue for these leagues, and they're not going to give that up.
Well, I think the important distinction, that you've made there, and that is part of it. We saw in the NHL, you know, which I follow more closely than the NBA, obviously, but those teams weren't doing shit until they were forced, right? Like San Jose forced the Sharks, and even though the Sharks weren't back home yet, they said, you are not playing here for the next 3 weeks, or at least you're not having fans. Columbus, the state of Ohio, said, we recommend no fans. And the Blue Jackets said, well, we think it'll be okay. And the next day, the governor came out again and said, it's disappointing that people didn't take this recommendation more seriously. It's not a recommendation anymore, right? It's now an order. So you're seeing that it was absolutely all about the money. The difference, I guess, that I would say is in the NBA, that TV deal is so much bigger than the NHL's, right? The NHL is going to be hit by this really hard in the empty arena thing, because they're almost entirely gate driven, right? Those tickets matter in a big way. And it's not that they get no money out of TV, but I think the point you make is interesting as it pertains to the NBA. They can come back and play in empty buildings and still bring down a pile of cash, whether it be from TNT or ESPN or whoever's going to have the, you know, the playoffs as they move through it. Whereas the NHL, I wonder if the investment is quite the same, right? If it's still worthwhile to them. There's some talk going around that the NBA asked their teams to start providing arena availability into early August. And that would make sense to me, right? Basketball could push this back further and further. And as a quasi, you know, it is a summer sport that just gets played in the winter because it's indoors. You could do that. Do you really want to see what the ice looks like in Tampa Bay in mid to late July? Right? Like these things, I don't know that everything is quite the same in both of these leagues. But you do make an interesting point that with the TV money, you know, just because the teams and the leagues come back doesn't necessarily mean they bring the fans with them. Maybe it does, just because you're right. Like sitting here now, if we're all supposed to be staying home or whatever, you go, well, at least I have the game to watch. And what the fuck are we going to watch now, man? Like there's nothing on.
In the last, you know, let's call it 30 years, when something goes wrong, it's typically sport we rally around.
Yeah.
Right?
Sport gives at minimum, it's a nice distraction.
We've seen it constantly, right? Even recently with the Predators, right? With the tornado that hit, right? I mean, people rally around the Predators, right? It's
How big was it when the New Orleans Saints came back after Katrina, or when the Yankees and the Mets came back after 9/11 and things like that. Yeah. Things that don't fix the problem, but can provide this momentary distraction from the hardship you're going through.
That's all it is, right? And this is a scenario where now that's not there. And I think this is also why people are, at least in, I can only speak to Toronto right now, but like people are taking this much more serious because all of a sudden it's like, oh, this never stops.
Yeah. No, and that's right? An interesting point. When you said that, you know, maybe there was a little more tension in the office today, you know, the whole world doesn't revolve around sports, but this went from this kind of thing that's happening and we know it's here and it's really bad in other parts of the world. And then you go, holy shit, the NBA shut down? That's big. Yeah. That's huge. That's the money being left on the table. This constant thing that's always around and it's everywhere isn't anymore. And it, I think it did really get people's attention and go, okay, holy shit, people are expecting this to get bad.
Yeah, because Matt, you've seen the numbers, right? Toronto, I think Ontario is up to 40 people now reported. Maybe that's Toronto. I could be wrong on that. But it's been a slow increase. It's been a couple people a day, not really scaring anybody. And all of a sudden, you say the NBA shut down. All of a sudden, you say NHL shut down.
Yeah.
And people have completely, you know, if there was any toilet paper left at Loblaws, it's gone now.
No, it's true.
Which, heads up. I don't know why you're stocking up on toilet paper.
What is it that you think a respiratory disease does to you? You're going to be shitting your pants multiple times per day? What? Figure it out. But no, you're right. It's kind of interesting and it snaps people. The scary thing about this disease is that it's quiet or it's invisible for so long and it grows exponentially, right? So we're kind of coming up 10 to 13 days behind some of these other countries. And so this wave that we're, and we don't know how big it's going to be here yet, but we haven't seen the worst of it here yet. And the fact that that is starting to happen in the US, we'll see what's going to happen here. We might not be as bad off, but we don't know for sure. And so that's why it seems like, you know, it's hard to say that these leagues are getting out ahead of it when really we're probably behind schedule a little bit in terms of what we're doing. But I think that's kind of an attention grabber for a lot of people to go, oh, shit, okay, like, we're not out of the woods. This isn't nothing. This is, I think for a lot of people, it made it real in a hurry.
100%, man. And I already touched on it. The only thing that really irks me about it is the selling from the leagues of, like, we're worried about the fans. And
yes.
They're not, no, right?
You're worried about your million-dollar assets. And
yeah, that's what they're worried about. And I mean, you don't want anybody to get sick, period, anyways, no. Right? But so I do think this is probably the right move. I the words coming around from the infectious disease people is that this isn't going to be over in a month.
No.
Right? It's that, like you said, we're just at the beginning of this right now in North America, and that we need to prepare for, it might not be awful.
Right.
And a pandemic for 3 months, but we need to expect to see this around for 3 months.
Yeah. And an interesting term, I saw one of these epidemiologists speaking on a show not too long ago, just a day or two ago. And he said that the best way to think about this or to, you know, paint a picture is that we've all been expecting, like even knowing that this was probably coming, that he called it, we've all been expecting this Corona blizzard. He goes, it's not a Corona blizzard. It's a Corona winter. This isn't a storm that ends in two or 3 days. This is a season of a couple of months that's going to play out. It's not a blizzard. It's a winter, right? And I thought that was an interesting way of painting it. And we're just at the beginning right now. And so we'll see what's going to happen here. I'm not sure.
That's a great analogy, actually.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Tall Can Sports here over the next little while. It'll be Tall Can Darts or something going on. I don't know what we're going to have, but... this may also be the first of many shows that are done over the phone as I lock the outside world out of my little world here. But we'll see how it goes, man. Hey,
any reason to keep Rob out of your fridge?
Oh, for sure. Out of my home, out of my sight line, out of my life. What was it? He was in here Tuesday night. We put a show together, and I said, it's no better than 50-50 that these leagues end up postponing seasons and games. And he goes, I think that's a little alarmist. And he emailed me this morning. He goes, okay. Like, I guess it wasn't all that alarm. And I wasn't predicting it. I was just saying, I think that's absolutely on the table. And then sure enough, one athlete gets it and you can't just quarantine one team. Like you pointed out earlier, if they played these guys and then locker room staff and maintenance people and stuff are working in there, equipment people. Once one team is quarantined, the entire comp, you know, league is compromised, and you just can't continue.
And then what happens is, you know, if you're the NHL, how do you not suspend your games?
Right.
If the NBA has,
are you the only idiots out there still doing this? Like, the PR is awful.
You know, the NLL is like, well, hey, you know, their union's probably like, well, we don't want to be at risk.
Right. And I mean, we only we only reference the big guys. The AHL is shutting down. The G League is shutting down. The CHL will be next to shut down. The ECHL is shutting down. You know, college sports, they kept saying, or they've been saying, you know, we're going to go ahead with March Madness, but with empty stands. But all the qualifying tournaments going on right now are getting called off. Like Pac-10's been called off. ACC's getting called off. Like, this is all coming down, and I can't possibly see how March Madness gets played, even in empty arenas. You just don't have tournaments to get people into it. Like,
exactly. And I think the only ones really running right now, we've got the PGA has said they're going to continue to play, but without fans.
Yeah.
Now ATP tennis canceled Indian Wells completely. Yeah.
I think the WTA has officially suspended, I think, all their operations as of this morning, I believe.
And I know F1 is still planning to run races without fans.
NASCAR as well is going to continue without fans. So, you know, some of these, I wonder if, and I think baseball was just trying like hell to get to April, right? We're going to get outside. We're not shoved into these little, it still wasn't going to be great, but I think they were really hoping that they would be able to be the ones that managed it because you weren't indoors. And you're still cramming too many people together. But I think that's why you're seeing golf and NASCAR and stuff like that go ahead. They're outdoors and they're away from spectators. And I still don't know that it's great because you got pit crews and all kinds of other people at risk. But, you know, I'm not surprised to see some of them going ahead. But everything else is being shut down. Minor leagues, major leagues across all sports, man. It's
like you're going to have to really catch up on your F1 news.
Oh,
on Netflix,
boy.
I guess.
Yeah. This is going to be rough. This is going to be rough. All right, Maddie. Well, I appreciate this, and it was interesting to touch base with you. You're kind of on the front line, still facing the public and touching all these gross, germy people every day.
Still touching. You know, I've been touching gross, germy people for 10 years now through other ones and flu seasons. And, you know, you learn to take care of yourself and you learn to disinfect and, you know, I go through enough bottles of Purell in a normal week.
I can only imagine.
You know, we'll continue to do that and try to keep everybody healthy and happy. And as long as it doesn't get too bad out here, you know,
I would imagine the sports injury blog and the injury gurus, unless you're going to do an entire series of videos on athletes who have the coronavirus, is going to be tough. But tell us what's up there and where people can find it.
We might just have to do one on washing your hands properly to be honest with you, right? Like how to wash your hands and get out of a washroom correctly. You know what? I think we were actually on a call this morning about that. I think what we're going to do is focus a little bit, and especially with people not wanting to leave the house, we're going to start focusing a little bit more on like what you can do at home as far as some stuff to keep yourself feeling well while you maybe not want to leave the house.
It's not a bad idea.
With that, you know, we were planning to start talking about a little golf anyways, but yeah, I can see the injury blogs, you know, taking a little bit of a hiatus, but still keeping some videos up. Our last one was about Norm Powell, which got a lot of views, you know, partly thanks to you helping share along. So Norm Powell, who I guess now has a whole month to rest. So,
well, that is an interesting one that maybe we'll get into in a future TCS, both in the NBA and the NHL. Who might benefit? You know, Colorado had Mikko Rantanen out. He was likely to miss the first round of the playoffs. Is he still? If this gets pushed back, do they get a boost?
Just say
right?
under your breath, Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Durant.
Well, look, the top two defensemen for Carolina and their goalies were all horribly banged up. Are they going to catch a break here? Kevin Durant, like you said, if they're playing games into July in the NBA, look out for Brooklyn. Like they may get hot.
Yep.
So, you know, no one thinks that this is a good thing, but it's fascinating to think as we look forward how it might benefit people, right? Or certain teams.
How it's going to start impacting, yeah.
Yeah, really interesting. So it is at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. You can also search for the Injury Gurus on YouTube. We normally share those around when we can, so you can keep an eye on that. We're on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Matty, appreciate you doing this as always, and keep your hands clean down there.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. We'll get out of here on that one, and we'll talk to you all later on in the weekend. See ya.
Stop the hammering. stop the hammering.
Jesus Christ. Crazy fucking sound coming in my ear. It just fucking sucks. It fucking sucks.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.
Fucking out of control shit.